Good morning. If you would, open up your Bibles to Galatians, and I want us to be looking there over the next few weeks. If you have a bulletin, you can open up to the center page. There you'll find a couple things that are a little bit new and different as we start this new year. I want us to be able to dive in and study together in this. And so in our email and in our bulletins, we're going to be sharing some things with you. And so there you're going to find a kind of write-up to lead us through. So when you get the email on Fridays with bulletin information and services information, there will be an idea of where we're going in our services. Or when you're here Sunday morning as you're preparing your mind, you can read that. Then there will be the page for your sermon notes. And if you flip the page, if you're online, if you've downloaded that, this will be page three. I've got a section there for a daily scripture as we think about Galatians chapter 1 this week, where I want you to spend some time reading a scripture, investing into God's Word and letting this run through the week. And then on the last page, page 4 there is a section for family time and group discussion. And I'm envisioning in the future, as our restrictions release, as our opportunities to be in each other's homes and be together increases, that we will be able to have some dialogue and some small groups and some studies together. And so that's what that's designed for, your family time, breakfast or evening, dinner time, sitting around the table and diving into this chapter of God's Word, letting that be a discussion for you, and this will be a discussion starter for you. So let's go back to the sermon notes, and we are looking at Galatians chapter 1 this morning, but I want to start in Galatians chapter 3 as the basis of what Paul is writing to these churches, as he's talking about something significant, this idea of being with Christ. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. He says, "So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise." Paul writes about this idea about being with Christ. And as we go through the duration of these next 6 weeks, I want to ask you to spend time daily diving into Galatians with me. I challenge you to read one chapter every day. So each week you're going to read the entirety of Galatians. And we'll do that for 6 weeks and really get to know what Paul is writing about, what we're talking about on Sunday mornings. Read it every day and let God's Word really jump into your heart and your mind as you start this new year. As he's writing, he's talking about being with Christ. And this is a concept that is new to him. This is something that has really changed his life, because here we see that Peter and Paul are intersecting in their leadership capabilities. And now I want to give you this principle about Peter and Paul, and I want you to see it as we go through the next few weeks, that Peter and Paul, they give us this principle. Maybe you remember the old Peter principle, that you're going to rise up to a level of ineptitude or inability. You're going to be promoted to a place where you're not going to be able to function. But I want you to see what Peter and Paul do in their faith. And Peter and Paul are saying that you are who you are, who you associate with. You are who you are involved with. And Paul, in his life, as he's been transformed by this revelation from Jesus Christ, as he's going down this road to Damascus, as he understands now for the first time the true and the reality of who Jesus is, as his life is changed, he is now walking with Christ, and he's going to say some powerful things about what was and what is now in his life. He's going to confront Peter in his time as he's supposed to be a leader for Christ, with Christ, in these churches. But yet he loses a little bit of his direction. You may remember Peter when he was a Christ follower, literally with Christ, walking with him day in and day out. Peter was a man of impetuous faith. When he sees Jesus walking on the water, he calls out and he too walks on the water for a moment. But when Jesus was arrested, Peter goes along with the crowd and he finds himself in the courtyard around this campfire. And the question becomes, are you with Jesus? And you may remember Peter's response as he denies ever being a part of this Jesus movement. I want us to reflect on our own hearts that are we really with Christ? Or are we with people who are with Christ? Are we really going in the direction that God has called us to go, or are we just going in the direction of least resistance? This principle really challenges us to think about who we really are. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you ashamed of Christ, or are you with Christ? Are you really putting your life with Christ? Read with me now in Galatians chapter 1 as Paul writes this introduction, as he starts this letter, and he starts in such a powerful way. Galatians chapter 1, start with me in verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men or by a man, but by Jesus Christ and the God, the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from our God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our Father and God, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul starts with such a great description of who God is and the position that God has in his life. And then he gets to this verse here in verse 6. And he says, as he gets to the heart of the matter of what he's really writing about, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. I want you to see this question that Paul throws out to this audience of believers. That are you leaving the faith that you so readily accepted? Are you missing the true value of the eternal relationship with God to hold on to something that is momentary, worthless, and a distraction? I want to ask you, is this talking about you and your relationship? As you set course for 2021, as you look back on 2020, is this representing your life? Is this giving you any clarity and direction? He says, I'm so astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you. Paul then goes on. In verse 8, he says, but even if we or angels from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so I now say it again, as if you might have missed it. Let me say it again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let them be under God's curse. Verse 10, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, he says, I would not be a servant of Christ. Very quickly, he sets the stage about the greatness of God, the grace through Christ Jesus that we are living and walking. But now there is a division. There are some who are quickly turning to the things of this world and they are giving up their hope and their freedom in Christ. Does that represent me or you? I want to give you a quick overview of Galatians and dive into a couple things that I want you to see as we look at this chapter this week. Number one, Galatians is filled with grace. He starts off with the concept of grace, this idea of grace that comes from the Lord. I want you to see that in every chapter, all throughout his letter, grace is infused into his words. He is strong and pointed in his attack about those that are deserting his faith, but he gives grace as a power and a purpose for his message. It is powerful, he reminds us. It is powerful, but yet it can be perverted. And I wonder in our Christian walk, I wonder if in our Christian examples or life, if we've ever noticed ourselves accepting some sort of perverted or changed version of grace. Does grace from God become a entrance card into some country club in which we can just sit back? Is grace some sort of entry point into something that allows us not to even focus back on ourselves and allow God to change us and remake us to be transformed by His Word and by His Spirit? Has grace somehow allowed us to be lulled into a sleep or into inaction that we no longer are the ambassadors for Christ that we are supposed to? Is grace somehow being perverted in our own life? Paul starts off in verse 3 and he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." Grace leads to peace. In the trouble and the challenges that we've just faced in this last year and in the midst of this world, I wonder if we really understand the grace that has been given to us. As we talked about this in our last series, the gift that God has given to us through Jesus Christ is now in our hands and in our voice, in our hearts, and are we sharing that gift? Do we understand that it brings peace to the trouble and the difficulties in people's real lives? And last but not least, we're going to see Paul talking about this grace, this great, important gift from God. There are many who have accepted Jesus as a true living individual, one that came from God, who lived an exemplary life, who taught about things that were new and different and powerful and life-transforming, who came and died on the cross, who was resurrected after 3 days. They accepted all of this, yet after some time, they turned back to the things that were so quickly fleeting in this world. Grace can be rejected. And what a sad story that is in reality. To know the great gift of God and choose something significantly different. So as we look at Galatians chapter 1 today, I want you to think about a couple things that will help measure to really bring a mirror into your own life for you to see really what is going on. I want you to think about this. Do I believe the biblical text? Am I paying attention to this as a real truth in this world? Or is it just a good story? Is it just an example of some good things that I might want to try when times get difficult? Do I really believe it? James chapter 2, verse 19 says that even the demons believe in Jesus Christ. But I want to know, do your beliefs transform into actions? Is your life being changed because of God's Word, because of God's Spirit, because of God's people? Are you being put into action? Number 2, is my aim to please God or man? Is this the real evaluation of who I am and what I do and why I do what I do in order to get along and go along with this crowd? Or is my hope and satisfaction, is my joy in Christ, with Christ first? Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, then I am not a servant of Christ." You put that measure in your life and it will give you the outcome. You are a servant of Christ or you are not, based on this intention of your life. Measure and measure carefully. Number 3, do I ask for second opinions? Do I seek man's approval? When God's Word guides me, when God's Word tells me, when God's Word or God's Spirit convicts me, do I take action or do I take a survey? Do I ask other people? As you read chapter 1, you're going to see Paul, as he receives a revelation from God, he doesn't go around and ask for more clarity. He doesn't ask human opinion about what he's heard or what he's seen. He goes forth and he puts it into action. And number 4, in challenges or in spiritual discussions, when the world is asking questions, when the world is putting up an attack, do I speak up or do I back down? As you evaluate your life, the conversations and the interactions that you have, are you being a presentation for Christ or are you avoiding those difficult moments? And last but not least, do my words and do my actions result in God being praised? As you read Galatians chapter 1, Paul will tell his story about how he was attacking the church, how Christ came to him and transformed his life as he devoted himself now to a Christ follower and going and sharing that message. And as he finishes, He says in verse 23, he says, now these churches that I'm starting to go to, they only heard the report that the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. But listen to what he says in verse 24. So here's this scene of the one who's trying to destroy the church being transformed. He now goes into these churches, and now they are seeing the one who was destroying, who was trying to destroy their efforts. And verse 24 says, and they praised God because of me. The final thing that I want to ask about your life, are your actions, are your words, are the things that you're involved with, are they bringing forth praise towards God? If you were silenced, if you were put into a hospital, if you were removed from the situation, would anyone know? Would the effort of God be changed in any way? Or do people give praise because of the things that you say and do in their life and in their presence? See, verse 6, Paul says, I'm so surprised that people are so quickly leaving the faith, the value that they once had in Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus. They're grabbing hold of this new gospel, which is no gospel at all. And I wonder, as we set forth into 2021, if we've already set our vision towards something that is not gospel, that is not valuable, that is not everlasting, and we grab hold of something that is just worthless. I challenge you to read chapter 1 with this new light. Let me finish with two stories real quickly. In 2002, there was an Australian speed skater by the name of Stephen Bradsbury. He was ranked 8th in the world, and by a fortunate opportunity finds himself in the finals of the Olympics there in Salt Lake City. It was him and 4 other competitors. He had the lowest qualifying time, and so he is at the far end of the starting line on the outside track. They are going to do a 1,000-meter race. This is going to be 9 laps. And Bradsbury knows that his chances of winning a medal are far from certain, as he is ranked below each of these men on the line. The gun fires and each of them takes off, and the 4 that are on the inside make a pack, and they begin to pull away from Bradsbury. Lap after lap, they go around, and Bradsbury is lagging behind a little bit more each time. And lap 1, lap 2, lap 3, they finally get to the final lap, lap 9. They come around the last corner, and as they do, the lead skater stumbles just a little bit, which causes number 2 to stumble just a little bit, and 3 and 4 then trip right on top of them, and all 4 of them spread out, sliding across the ice, and Bradsbury slides and skates to victory and wins the gold medal. Literally, gold or silver and bronze are sliding on their bottoms across the finish line. But he had the vision that he was going to stay in the race. He was going to participate, and he knew what the goal was and the direction that he wanted to go. 2 years later in Athens, one of our U.S. Olympians, Matt Emmons, is a sharpshooter. He was in this competition, and he was featured to be the gold medalist. In fact, this event had 3 different parts. As a sharpshooter, you would stand, you would kneel, and you would lay down, and you would shoot towards the target. After 2 of those sections, he was by far the leader. He was certain for gold. All he needed was just a mediocre score, and he would win gold. And as he lays down for that final part of this event, he sets his sights, he pulls the trigger, and bullseye. He pulls the trigger at the 2nd, bullseye. He pulls the trigger again at the 3rd one, the final one, and bullseye. But he had been focused on the wrong target, his competitor's target, and scores a 0 and falls and doesn't get a medal at all. As Paul writes this letter to the churches in Galatia, as Paul writes now to us, as we evaluate our relationship with God, I want to ask you, are you staying in the race to win the race? Are you focused on what you need to do? Or are you distracted with so many other things of this life? are you so quickly deserting the faith that God has given to you? Is this really speaking about me? Final thing is, am I with Christ? Over the next few weeks, as we read through Galatians, as we study about what Paul is writing, as we evaluate our life, I want to challenge you to think about who you are and your relationship with Jesus Christ. If there's anything that we can do to encourage you, to counsel you, to help you in your journey, our elders are standing by, and we would love to talk with you and pray with you and encourage you on our race. I would love for you to come by the office and spend some time as we discuss and we read and we study together about what it really means to live a life with Christ. There is no greater time as we start this new year than to set our sights on the real goal, the real treasure in life, being with God and not in the distractions of this world. With that in mind, let's stand together. Let's encourage each other with this song.